U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, who this week visited India and Pakistan, said today in Estonia that tensions were down measurably, but the crisis over the disputed territory of Kashmir was not yet over. One sign that the hostilities persist was the shooting down of an unmanned Indian spy plane earlier today over Pakistan near the border with India. Indian authorities acknowledge they're missing an aircraft, and Pakistani officials take credit for its destruction. At the same time, nearly a million troops have massed along both sides of the border. They've been there since late December. To date, the threat of war remains. Jill McGivering is the BBC's South Asia correspondent. She's just returned from a trip to the Indian side of the Kashmiri front, and she joins us now from New Delhi. You've just come back from the front, Jill. Can you tell us a little about what you saw there? What's the mood like among the soldiers?
It is very tense, and I think there's quite a lot of frustration, particularly amongst the military. It's partly because they have been deployed on this border, basically on high alert, for quite a lot of months now. This all really escalated in January, and then we're seeing a sort of second wave of escalation at the moment. So a lot of people are frustrated, they're physically and mentally tired. And also I think a lot in the military were very angry by the attack in May, on May the 14th, on an Indian army camp. So that's all added to a sense, I think, of many people there saying, look, if we're going to mount some sort of military action, we want to get on with it. We're ready for war. We're ready for action. We just need the politicians to give the go-ahead.
Pakistan's rejected India's proposals for joint patrols along the Kashmir border. What's Pakistan's feeling about international monitors?
Well, certainly Pakistan has always favoured this idea of trying to get some international involvement in verifying what's happening on the ground. But certainly India, I think, is never going to accept that. India would see that as a creeping move towards internationalising this whole dispute, which is something that people here would be extremely wary of. But the issue of verification is a key one. While the two sides are disagreeing about what exactly is happening, the level of militancy involved in Indian Kashmir, and exactly who these militants are, obviously there needs to be some sort of mechanism that can be agreed between the two sides that can verify exactly what's happening.
How do civilians along the border feel about the possibility of war, and isn't their feeling different from the rest of India?
Well, it does vary a little bit depending on which part. I gather that people in the Kashmir Valley, in the area around Srinagar, are quite cautious, quite anxious, and very eager for peace. But certainly in the area where I was, which was close to the international border, close to Jammu, people there were surprisingly belligerent and hawkish. I mean, I was talking to people who were in the process of having to relocate from villages which were quite close to the international border, which are sporadically coming under sustained firing and shelling, as there are these exchanges on a daily basis at the moment across the border. They were talking about people in their villages that had been killed or shot, about their houses being destroyed, about animals being killed in this action. And yet they didn't seem to be saying they wanted to stop this at the moment. They were saying, we'd like this settling once and for all. And I think that was rather a different view from the view amongst many other people elsewhere in India, where frankly, daily life feels very much as normal. And I think people are quite used to this cycle of political rhetoric and talk about escalation and talk about conflict. They don't necessarily expect it's actually going to lead to anything.
Jill, you've talked about war with conventional weapons. Are civilians along the border or elsewhere in India aware of what a nuclear exchange between Pakistan and India could mean?
No, and you know it's strange because obviously that's something that has been a focus of attention in the international community, and of course it's something we're often asked about. But here people just don't even talk about that. It's just not in people's mindset. People are used to living with the concept of nuclear weapons, but people, I don't think, have very much sense of what a nuclear exchange would really mean.
Jill McGivering is the BBC's South Asia correspondent. She joined us from New Delhi. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.